You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Yeah, I have got Dominic Howey on today to talk about his 1985 novel. This is his third novel, and it's about, would you say, a coming of age type during the time period? Obviously, the same year of the Rainbow Warrior attack, which is quite a prominent one if you've well read on your Aotearoa history, set in Tamaki Makaurau, pre-gentrification, and he'll be coming down to Otipoti on June 5th for a book launch at the University Bookshop. So, yeah. Just firstly, tell us about what it was like writing this book. Where did you start writing it?
I actually wrote it in Detroit. I was living in America, and it was snowing, and we went upstate for a while, so there was like bears and, you know, raccoons and stuff. So it was pretty exciting. And then I'm writing about Grayland in the 80s, so it's kind of quite a juxtaposition, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You got to get out of the space to really reflect on it all, I guess.
Yeah, I find that's the best way to, you know, like when you're doing a big creative project, is to sort of go away and create that way. Especially when you're writing about something that's so close to you. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, a lot of it is just really about, well, from what I've seen, it's just like coming up through that age, the like kind of lust for opportunity, but really seems to be a lot more going on behind the scenes. And did I spark notes that
yeah, so I guess it is a coming of age story. It's about this kid Obi who you know, his family are quite poor and they're sort of maybe going to lose their house, and then his dad's friend gets out of jail and comes and stays with them, and there's all this tension between the dad and the friend, you don't know why. And Obi's a video game savant, he plays Spaces, you know, and so he goes through the dad's friend's stuff to try and find money and finds a treasure map, and then sort of adventure and hilarity ensue.
Yeah, we love it. And how do you kind of find the difference between this and writing your poetry as well, because you've done your compilation book as well for that, and that's kind of seems to be the like underpinning of your artistic creativity?
I guess it's funny because like when I finished the novel, I was like, because I'm working on a new poetry book at the moment, I'm like, okay, I'll get back into the book, and I couldn't write poetry for about 3 weeks because it's like whatever part of your brain writes prose is so different than poetry. It's such a different way of thinking about it. But I got back there eventually, thankfully. But poetry, it just feels more like it's a consistent thing in my life, where I think the novels are more like I'm going to do this huge project and, you know?
Yeah. Is it quite overwhelming, like, to just get those first words down on the page? Like, obviously you're a pro at this, but does it even still, like, with a novel, that, like, huge, big undertaking?
I think the thing of a novel is it's like pulling the trigger on, I'm going to start now. So I've got a new one in the works, and I've done a lot of the research, and it's sort of ready to go, but I'm like, oh, am I ready to start yet? So I think once you make that decision, then I think it sort of, you know, it has a life of its own. But I'm sort of putting it off because I'm like, I want a break, you know, after the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And you were saying, was it your last novel that you've released was written in the wonderful Port Chalmers?
Yeah, Poor People with Money. I came down because one of my best friends lives there, and I subletted this house and, yeah, just stayed there in winter and wrote this book and went kind of crazy. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing. And, yeah, I think I wrote 80,000 words and when I was there.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, I guess...
And I actually... Yeah. Sorry, you go.
Oh, all I was going to say is, I guess the cold really, if you're stuck inside, there's not much else to do, I guess.
Yeah, but I love that place, you know, it's so sort of haunting, and I found it really inspiring, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And there's all the little like viewpoints you can find through there, just like go on the most beautiful walks and bike rides, and those blue, I love those like blue crisp days where you just breathe in that air, you're like, damn, that is fresh, like.
Yeah, hard out.
I'd also like to just mention the Auckland Writers Festival that you've undertaken in recently. It might have been a had to be there thing, but what are some of the more like key takeaways that you could give to the listeners from that, from your kind of teachings?
I was actually working at the same time, so I'd do my event and because I'm a youth worker, and then I'd run back and do the youth work. So I only actually got to do my things, but it was awesome, man. It was packed. And it was really cool. Like, so I did a couple of panels. Like, one was talking about Auckland, and one was talking about just sort of the concept of, you know, how Aotearoa always scores quite high on those happiness markers, you know?
Oh,
and then
yeah,
we're sort of discussing, like, what does that actually mean? But then there was a performance on the last night where it was like, I think there was like 7 of us from all different sort of backgrounds and disciplines. And it was so emotional. Like, everyone was crying, and it was really, but in a really full on kind of cool way. And I was like, man, I didn't really expect to, you know, be sort of feeling this emotional at the Writers' Festival, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really, yeah, it was really awesome.
Yeah, it's inspiring, those things. And just seeing all the, like, the young writers, so keen for it. And you've also got you've set up a Learn to Write Good, from what I understand. How does that kind of work? Because that's just, like, more teaching people that haven't had the greatest, like, formal education on, like, creative writing.
Yeah, so I teach everyone from, like, you know, I work with people in social housing and youth justice through to professional writers, and primarily it's online. And I just basically teach people, like, the fundamentals of creative writing. So here's how you construct a metaphor, here's how you edit your work, here's how you structure your work, because I think that those things are actually quite hard to find. Like, even if you go to university and do a master's in creative writing, they're not necessarily going to teach you that stuff.
Yeah.
So I always thought, well, if I ever get good at this thing, I really want to teach it, you know. And then, but started about 10 years ago, and it's been awesome. Like, some of my students have gone on to do really amazing stuff.
Definitely. And it seems like you've carried on that theme with Dead Bird Books, because you've co-founded that, right?
Yeah. So me and my mate Sam started that, like 6 or 7 years ago now.
Mm. So you just seem to be a bit of an institution in anything creative in Aotearoa. It's kind of hard to escape.
Oh, I think with like a lot of that stuff, it's like we saw that there were a lot of people that weren't getting published, and we found that the industry is kind of like, it's set up for a few people, but it's not set up for others. And so we were like, oh well, why don't we do our thing? And because we'd both run record labels before, so we sort of structure it more like a record label than a traditional publisher.
Yeah.
In as much as, like, how we promote people and all that stuff. And it seems to work, you know, like, the books do really well. And again, like, some of the writers have gone on to do really incredible stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And stuff like, because your most recent one, 1985, is done with Penguin Publishing, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that a lot more formal of a process to get through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a corporation, you know, so there's sort of the stuff that comes with that. But they're really awesome, you know, like, their editors are amazing, and they've done a really good job of sort of, like, promoting it and stuff. But, it is much more, like, like you say, formal, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And also there's so much money invested in it, then there's sort of an expectation it's going to sell a certain amount.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of a bit of a promotion, you, like I said earlier, you'll be in Aotearoa for the June 5th at the University Bookstore. What's kind of your plan for that book launch then?
Yes, so my mate Liz Breslin is going to be there, and she's going to sort of, like, introduce me, and then I'm going to read some of the book, and I might do a couple of poems. There's going to be refreshments and be signing books, and I'm really looking forward to it. I was like, because I wasn't going to come to Dunedin because like, we had quite a limited budget, and Penguin were like, oh, I don't know if people are going to come out in Dunedin. And I was like, I really want to go. And then a few people hit me up, and they're like, you have to come. So I was like, all right, so here I am. I'm coming down. So people better show up.
We'll make sure.
Prove people wrong.
No, I'll be there.
Awesome.
How, like, I do feel like Dunedin, it there has been a lot of talk from what I've seen about, like, the dying music industry here, but I don't know, at least I don't know how much you've seen, but I've seen still a very solid community of very dedicated people that are still making an effort to go out and just see any sort of, like, creative live arts, plus the Fringe Festival and stuff like that. I'm glad you're continuing on with that to make it down here.
Yeah, I always try and come down. It's just, like, I think it is, you know, like, I was actually just talking to my mate because we're going to do a tour in November. And we're just saying how Dunedin is, like, one of our favorite places to play, but it's the hardest place to pull a crowd. And I think that, and I think you're right, there's so many creative people there as well. But I do feel like maybe there's its own creative community going on, and we're not necessarily tapped into that as well, you know?
Yeah.
But no, we always have cool gigs there.
Yeah. I was also just wanting to ask generally on your opinions on where you see kind of the future of young writers in Aotearoa. Like, what's the best way for them to pursue, like, what you've done? Or just, like, yeah, anything, like, getting it published, getting people to see the work that they've done. What's the best thing they can do?
I think the main thing is just find your style, you know what I mean? Like, find your voice, find what's going to differentiate you from the millions of other people doing it. And don't be afraid to, like, self-publish, to put stuff on the internet, like, because basically you just need to build some interest, and then after that, it kind of, like, you know, like, one of the reasons why Penguin signed me was because I had a following already, you know? I mean, obviously they liked the book too, but that sort of helped. And so I think if you can build that audience, but one thing I always tell my students, you know, is, like, you know, it's really important to get feedback and all of that stuff. But if someone's just being negative or telling you you can't do something, that's always about them. It's never about you, you know what I mean? And I think it's really important in any creative field to know that, because there are a lot of kind of real negative pricks, you know?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, no. One thing I've found in Otipoti is the student magazine's a lot of fun. They they publish a lot of critic tauri. They just publish a lot of great culture pieces, think pieces, poems as well. Like, it's a good way, just as a wee recommendation for any of the listeners. More if they do want to have a go.
Yeah, or just make a zine as well, you know, like, because that stuff's quite cheap to do. And, you know, yeah, I wish I would have done more of that stuff when I was younger. I was always waiting to try and get a publishing deal, you know, and so I think, like, I would just, if I was, you know, to do it again, I would just sort of go for it a lot earlier.
Yeah, there's still a lot of space for that kind of stuff. One popular one, you probably, I don't know if you would have heard it, but there's something called Bussy Galore. I really shouldn't be talking about this on the radio, but someone made like a kind of fanfic about Winston Peters discovering the
word
Bussy, and kind of getting
I think I heard about this.
Yeah, and it's caused the Dunedin News Facebook page has not been happy about it, but it's definitely worth a read if you come down, try find it. They have it at Yours and Woof Bar. They just have little copies flying around, and someone's managed to
set it out.
Yeah, they set up their own kind of like printing studio. Just it's quite a small, very small little book, but it's a lot of it was a good use of political creativity.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Anyway, I think it might be our time. Is there anything else you'd really like to mention?
Just like, yeah, thanks for having me on, and like, hopefully see you down at the University Bookstore, and when is it, next Thursday, in a week.
Yeah, not too far away. Yeah. How do you know how people can get tickets for that, or is it just
I think if you just show up, or you can email the bookstore to RSVP.
Yeah,
I think it says that somewhere. Otherwise just turn up, and yeah, there's gonna be refreshments, snacks. You know,
oh, twist my arm, bloody hell!
Yeah, I might wear like a nice shirt. You never know.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for.
Thank you, brother.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I will be playing one of your poems that you're able to find on Spotify or anything Bandcamp streaming service. This one is "I Thought We'd Be Famous." From that, it is "How to Lose Money and Entertain People." Yeah, how did that one actually come around? Getting like recording it in this kind of fashion.
Oh, I can barely remember. I think I recorded it at my flatmate, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just chucked it on Spotify.
Old haunt stick, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoy. Yeah, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
How to lose money and entertain people. A manifesto. Number one, fuck cliches about oceans when depressed and sunsets when in love. Fuck rewriting dogma and fan fiction of the new hot literature style that nobody's even really sure that they like. Number two, become a thief. Break into poets' houses and rip pages from their notebooks. Eavesdrop on the homeless. Catch the bus, recall conversations of people breaking up on their phones. Fill in the blanks later.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.